Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. Place your seats and trays in the upright position, fasten your seatbelt, and hang on for 3 hours of real talk, real perspective, and real news here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can get it from your App Store, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Once it's downloaded, you search for WILK News Radio. You click follow. That's it. That's all you have to do. Works seamlessly with your CarPlay. Listen, we all have, well, most of us have CarPlay in our cars now. It's a great little thing to have when you're traveling. You don't have to worry about that AM, FM signal. Get us anywhere, anytime. You have the rewind feature and can do a whole lot more. So podcasts, we got you covered there. Anywhere you get your favorite podcast, just search for The Rob O'Donnell Show. And smart speakers, just ask those little suckers to play WILK News Radio. It is 309, 66 degrees of clouds with some peaks of sun today on this Thursday, May 28th, 2026. Well, you know, March flew by, April flew by, and here we are, the end of May already. June is right here upon us. Hopefully everybody has some decent plans for the weekend. I was just looking at the weather. It looks pretty good. Hopefully I can get my chores done. Hopefully you could do whatever you need to get done as well. So we'll get to what's happening with Iran, which seems like delay and stall seems to be the key point there. But if it gets the end goal, again, I'm all for diplomacy first, but this is the craziest ceasefire I've ever seen, with missiles flying and things being shot out of the sky and all sorts of things. But we extended the ceasefire. That's what we do have today. But really, other than that, it's more agreed to more talk. And again, these delay tactics, the Iranians' game plan is to simply wait out and hopefully the American public start complaining enough to have the administration give in. That's where we're at here. So hopefully it does not go on for too much longer. It's, you know, we keep hearing we're close, we're close. Listen, if we're not close, if they think we're just they're just stalling, maybe it's time to give them a little shake, rattle, and roll. And maybe that changes their mind. I guess we'll see. Speaking of some shake, rattling, and rolling here, Governor Shapiro kind of snuck in to Northeast Pennsylvania yesterday to have a – well, he's saying that he spoke to the residents of Archbold. Well, it's really not the case. He spoke to a select hand-picked group of people. And again, they were from all perspectives. But it's interesting that the president of the Archbold Council said that he was unaware. He was invited to the meeting, but they had other meetings. And since another council member was going, he decided not to go. And this is on social media, but he said that we were never told the governor was going to be there. I would have made it a priority if I knew the governor was going to be there to voice my concerns directly to him. And basically, the people who organized the meeting, which appears to have been Representative Mullins from that area, Kyle Mullins, said that, well, he was unaware that the governor was going to be there till 10 minutes before he was there. Well, that's interesting because all the media was there expecting the governor, but the people who were running the meeting and the people who were attending the meeting had no idea that the governor was going to be there. Sounds a little fishy to me. But the governor was there to listen. And release his what the governor's Responsible Infrastructure Development, or GRID, plan. Standards that require data center developers to comply with new, stricter standards in order to receive support from the state. And GRID standards encompass protecting energy affordability, promoting transparency and community engagement. You get the wording there, right? Promoting transparency and community engagement, not requiring transparency and community engagement, supporting workforce and economic development. Well, supporting workforce and economic development is a broad statement. And strengthening environmental protection. And this is according to a news release from the governor's office about this plan. None of this is mandatory, by the way. And again, if you listen to this GRID, what it encompasses, and it's right from the thing, protecting energy affordability. Okay, well, it's energy is not affordable now, so what are they protecting? Are they protecting the status quo? Are they protecting the increases that we're already told are coming? So what's being protected? Promoting transparency and community engagement. And again, not transparency or required to be transparent in community engagement and engaging the community, but promoting it. Could that be some of those pamphlets and those flyers that were sent out that really pissed a lot of people off in the Archibald area in Northeast Pennsylvania? And again, supporting workforce and economic development, a broad statement. I mean, define supporting. Now, Shapiro met with local activists and saw firsthand a community park in Archibald near where developers propose 30 data centers and natural gas power plant. After spending more than an hour meeting with a group of Archibald residents and at State Representative Kyle Mullins' district office on Main Street in Blakely, Shapiro met with local media to discuss his rationale for GRID and his experience in Archibald. Mullins, District 112 Blakely, invited him to visit the district to speak with the residents, the governor said. Well, the residents is a broad statement. There was about five or six people there. And again, they were a broad selection of people, but not the residents of Northeast Pennsylvania. If the governor really wanted to immerse himself, why didn't he show up to a meeting? Where are all the other people that are involved with this while he was there? This was an in-and-out PR stunt by the governor. And it's interesting to see that all the different chat groups and Facebook pages and the internet that's rallying the residents, the community themselves, for data centers have seen through that. I mean, it's very easy to go through the pages, which I'm a member of a few of them, and see that they're not buying it. So this kind of fell flat on its face. The GRID infrastructure plan that he brought out would have been good a year and a half ago. Today, it's a little too late type thing. And again, there's no requirements in it. It's not mandatory. It's all voluntary. It's basically a CYA for the governor because he knows this is a third rail item, and he's kind of caught in the middle of it. He's actually standing on the third rail, and he doesn't know what to do right now. So I'm gonna shoot in and shoot out and have this PR stunt, and I'm gonna put all over social media. I met with the residents of Archibald. No, you didn't. You met with a handpicked selection, handpicked by Kyle Mullins. Who, what's his status on the data centers? I mean, you tell me if you live in that area. He's not my representative. And but it's clear that the people of Northeast Pennsylvania, the people of the Archibald, Blakely, and that entire region by State Back Park, So I believe that's the park that the governor visited. Aren't buying this. Aren't buying this at all. There was someone who came out with a definitive policy today, and that was Pennsylvania State Treasurer and candidate for Governor Stacey Garrity. Earlier today, she put out a public statement saying that she is calling for a pause on data center development in Pennsylvania. She said Josh Shapiro rolled out the red carpet for massive data center projects. Now that communities are raising concerns about water usage, energy demands, noise, zoning, infrastructure, and effects on farmland, he's scrambling to do damage control. Pennsylvania families should not be sacrificed for Josh Shapiro's political ambitions or sweetheart deals. And she has her policy there. I'm going to have Stacey Garrity on the show tomorrow. And we're going to talk about this today, tomorrow, when I have her on directly and hear from her. But that's the statement she put out. There is a press release with that statement on her Stacey Garrity for Pennsylvania Facebook page. You could look it up there yourself and read the statement. And I've called, when I interviewed Stacey Garrity, what, a week or two ago? I said, I would like to see the governor appoint a director of data centers to coordinate with county commissioners who coordinate with their townships and borough managers or leadership to figure out a more substantial plan here. Not basically leaving it to the developers, which this grid program does. Hey, if you want these special incentives from the state, you need to do these things. We're not mandating them, but if you want to save a little extra money, if you want some taxpayers to help supplement you, you know, these are the things you're going to have to do, because that's what that is indeed. So all the entities get a full front and say, okay, identify the places in your county that are suitable for these data centers. Speak to the boroughs, speak to the communities, speak to the cities and the municipalities and say, where can these things go? And you map that and you bring that to the developers and say, hey, we've spoken to the people, we've spoken to their leaders, we've spoken to the counties, we're here to speak for the state. Here are the areas in each county which are suitable for you to build data centers. If they are not suitable to you, or is this something you don't want to pursue? Well, there's states all around America. Figure it out. This way, we have accommodated them to the benefit of the citizens of our area and Pennsylvania. And again, set a list of mandates that they need to fulfill. Not requests, mandates. And like I've said from the start, because this never happens and it needs to start happening here in Pennsylvania, we've seen it with the legalization of gambling. We've seen it with now the request to legalize recreational marijuana. We've seen it time and time again. The alcohol tax, the road taxes, everything that we get taxed up the yin-yang for, we never really see the benefit of that. Everyone else does, not the taxpayers. So a percentage of whatever tax revenue these centers bring in needs to go directly to reducing the burden on the taxpayer. That needs to be written in the legislation itself. It needs to be in the policies. It needs to be in the zoning. It needs to be in everything that's part of the approval process. This is not a slush fund for our municipalities, our counties, our state. This needs to benefit all people of Pennsylvania, which these programs never do. We've seen it. We were promised the world with the legalizing gambling, and we saw peanuts. Little bit, but peanuts. And put the mandates. You need to provide your own power. Any upgrade of the infrastructure is going to be on you. You need to have a decommissioning bond that's going to be held by the counties. So if you abandon this, if it becomes obsolete in 5 or 10 years and you're not done, we can deal with it. You need to use closed-loop cooling systems and mandate these things as part of doing business in Pennsylvania. Not come in here for your PR stunt and say, well, I've developed this grid plan, which really doesn't define anything. Just kind of, if you want to do these things, because, I mean, I just listed what's listed in this. Protecting energy affordability. Okay, well, if they're building their own power plant, are they protecting energy affordability? Promoting transparency and community engagement. Well, if they put PR statements out, does that meet that criteria? Supporting workforce economic development. Well, they're going to hire people to build these places, and then there'll be a limited amount of people working at them. Good paying jobs, mind you. But it's the tax revenue that's developed from this. That's one of the things that stood out for me in Virginia. With all the problems we've seen in Virginia, which we should learn from and make sure it doesn't happen here, there is great tax benefit to these. I mean, over $900 million is going to Loudoun County, Virginia. $900 million could do a lot here in Lackawanna County. But you know what? It's not a slush fund. It's not an addition for a wish list for county commissioners or anyone else in elected office. It should go a percentage of that. 75% minimum should go to pay down the burden of the taxpayers. And then I think a lot more people would be at the table saying, I'm willing to listen. You're going to come close to wiping out my county tax debt. You're going to come close to making school tax obsolete. More people are going to listen. But that needs to be in conjunction. That's the carrot, but that's in conjunction with doing these things responsibly. Not abusing our environment, not taking our resources, not ruining our quality of life, which is why I think it's paramount that the state, the counties, and the localities need to get together and say, okay, you know what? We've done our analysis and research. Here's where you could put these things. Now go and try and buy those properties if you can. We're not going to help you. That's on you. Go make a best offer to whoever owns those properties. But here as a township, as a borough, as a city, as a county, we decided you can build these. Have at it. Or if you know what, if you can't, if it's not cost conducive for you, there's New York, there's New Jersey, there's Maryland, there's Virginia. Have at it. It's 3:23 here at WILK. A lot of working men and women out there. We got you. Thursday is just about done. Friday, and then the weekend is upon us. 3:26, 66 degrees. So they had a meeting in Luzerne County against this non-discrimination ordinance. And they are going to have a public hearing on that at 5:30 on June 4th for public input on a proposed non-discrimination ordinance. And council plans to vote on the proposal ordinance on its next regular meeting at June 9th. Now, we've talked about this here. This has little to do with anti-discrimination. This has to do with silencing people that they don't want to talk out about things that they don't agree with. It's simple as that. And it could be illegal immigration. It could be transgender issues. This ordinance for Luzerne County is a slippery slope that is going to give the power to non-judicial entities to charge you with summary offenses and fine you up to $500 simply because they don't agree with what you said, your First Amendment right. And in some cases, it conflicts with federal law because one of the classes they want to protect is immigration status. Well, we fill out an I-9 when we get a job because of our immigration status. That's just part of that deal. Well, in this ordinance, if you don't hire someone because they said they were here illegally on an I-9 or refused to fill out an I-9, you could be held responsible for discrimination. If you go to a school board meeting and you oppose men or transgenders in a girl's bathroom or playing girls' sports or vice versa, if someone makes a complaint, you could be held liable for a summary offense and a fine up to $500 for discrimination. And you have a board appointed by what I'm seeing more and more is a radical Luzerne County Council that are going to make those decisions. And they say, well, this is going to be extremely cost effective. This is going to cost us almost nothing to do. Well, I'd start to factor in the lawsuits here because that First Amendment right is a real doozy. And I think you're going to have a big problem with that when you try enforcing and ruin people's reputation saying they discriminated when in fact they're speaking their mind. So they had a work session this past Tuesday. Council members reviewed and discussed the proposed ordinance that would establish anti-discrimination requirements for employment, housing, education, healthcare, and public accommodations. Now, if enacted, the County Human Relations Commission would be empowered to make determinations on discrimination complaints. Not a court, not a judge, but the County Human Relations Commission. Again, put in place by the Luzerne County Council. Now, one of the people they had at this meeting And the council people there said, this allows us to have a very cost-effective way to address the problem of our residents to go through a system, Council Vice Chairman Brittany Stevenson said. We also have the opportunity to train people right here in Luzerne County to be able to deal with some of these issues. You get the terminology I'm saying here. The proposed ordinance is modeled after other county ordinances that fill gaps in state law and explicitly lists sexual orientation, gender identity as a protected class. And they, one of the speakers they had was a West Wyoming resident, addressed council at Tuesday meeting in support of the ordinance. They said, I applied as an EMT for three different EMS jobs in Luzerne County alone. And all three have actually said they cannot hire me based on the fact that I am transgender because of the fact that is a radical decision for me to be me and for me to stand out and stand different than anybody else, the individual said. Well, maybe the EMS companies don't hire somebody with a declared mental condition, gender dysphoria. Maybe that's the fact. But in this case, as per the county, they want to force someone to hire this individual. And again, it doesn't stop there because this includes education. So again, if you go to complain about your daughter's sports or someone in your daughter's locker room, a biological male in your daughter's locker room, or in sports for an unfair advantage, you can be held under this. So they said your human rights relations ordinance not only protects people based on race, color, religion, national origin, gender identity, and sexual orientation, but other protections include a salary history ban. It protects intersex people, breastfeeding mothers, people with support animals, victims of domestic violence, people with diabetes and heart disease, volunteers, midwives, EMTs, radiologists, physician assistants, social workers, and veterans from discrimination. I don't know where they got that list from. All those people are already protected under both state and federal discrimination laws, anti-discrimination laws. They want to incorporate radical ideas like immigration status, sexual identity, into a protected class when it's not. Now, resolving a discrimination complaint filed with the State Human Relations Commission can take up to 2 or 3 years because of a backlog of 1,700 cases. But local commissions like Lehigh routinely resolve cases in 1 or 2. The cost is low. As we said, it's a $500 a year budget, and we've spent less than $140 yearly since we've been running. They want to pressure people. If you go to a school board meeting and you say, I don't want males in my daughter's locker room, and you get charged with a $500 summary offense by this new commission, well, what are you going to do? You're going to go there and they're going to say, well, don't do that anymore. You know, you can't discriminate. And if you agree, they may drop it and say, okay, this is your warning, don't do it again. They've silenced you. They violated your First Amendment right. They violated your duty to protect your child. Same thing, if you own a house and people come to move in your house and you come across that they are here illegally, they admit to you, hey, yeah, we're here illegally. We don't have that information. We don't have that documentation because we're not here. And you say, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to rent my house to you because you're here illegally. I'm not going to turn you in. I'm not calling ICE. I just don't prefer you rent my home. Well, under this ordinance, you could be charged with this summary offense discrimination policy and be on the hook for $500. This is a way to enforce things that they want enforced. Not protections, but to silence. This is a slippery slope. This is going to cost them, I think, a lot more money than they think they are, because violating people's First Amendment rights, creating your own protected class, will have consequences. And those will be financial consequences for the taxpayers of Luzerne County, because that's who foots the bill here. When the county is sued for $1 million for defamation because they accused you of being a bigot and it ruined your reputation because everything they do here is going to be public information, well, it's the taxpayer who's going to have to foot that settlement, because that's what it'll be, a settlement, because they will not win in court. It's 3:34 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So the U.S. is going to provide plutonium from atomic bombs to fuel nuclear plants. Yes, they are. The U.S. is planning to distribute plutonium left over from Cold War-era weapons to commercial nuclear developers as part of the administration's efforts to accelerate the rollout of new reactors. The Department of Energy has selected five firms for advanced negotiations to participate in the Surplus Plutonium Utilization Program. The Santa Clara, California-based company said in a statement they have Oklo Incorporated, Exodus Energy, Shine Technologies, Standard Nuclear, and Flybe Energy Incorporated were competitively selected for negotiations, the Energy Department said. Under this program, the U.S. will supply almost 20 metric tons of weapons-grade plutonium that can be converted into reactor fuel. Oklo is one of a dozen of the companies designing new nuclear power plants and has warned of potential shortfalls in the uranium supply chain that may hinder deployment. However, critics warn that distributing weapons-grade plutonium could lead to security concerns and point to previous government efforts that have been costly failures. Now, the program creates a pathway to use existing surplus material as a bridge fuel for advanced reactors to bring more reactors online sooner. Material that has been set aside for disposal can instead be converted into fuel to produce electricity through fusion. These companies will partner with the European nuclear provider Nucleo to use the material. The Energy Department announced last year it would be accepting applications for the materials after previous efforts to turn some weapons-grade plutonium into fuel for commercial reactors failed. Now, this would obviously be made into commercial use prior to being transferred over to these power facilities. So, but I agree, anywhere there's nuclear material, including plutonium, it becomes a security concern, which needs to be worked out here. It's 3:42 here at WILK. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for the day's financial follow-up. Let's see where the markets are. Before we get to the markets, though, today is the United States Air Force Academy graduation, where the Air Force cadets will be commissioned to become second lieutenants in the United States Air Force. And J.D. Vance, Vice President J.D. Vance, is the guest speaker at the graduation, and he is handing out and shaking hands the diplomas for each and every cadet. And what cadet came up, and as they come on and off the stage, the cadets chest bump each other as they're walking up on the stage. J.D. Vance decided he wanted to get in on the fun and chest bumped some of the cadets as he shook their – or before he shook their hand. So go Vice President J.D. Vance. Just incredible to see. The video's out there. Let's see what the markets are doing today. The Dow Jones is up 17, almost 18 points. It's at 50,662. The NASDAQ is up 255 points. It's at 26,930. Standard & Poor's up 46.10. That's at 7,566. Apple's up about 65 cents. Google's up $2.45. Under Armour's up about 18 cents. Tesla is up $2.30. Amazon is up $2.08. Home Depot's up $2.68. Nike is up $1.62. Boeing Company is up $4.86. GE Aerospace is up $4.20. Disney is down 39 cents. Starbucks is down $1.17. Bitcoin is down $1,547. Bitcoin is now at 73,375. So gold, I was just looking at that. Gold per ounce right now is up $43.75. It's at $4,512.75. Let's see if I can get silver real quick. Silver's at $76.30. That's up almost a dollar, 95 cents. Platinum is down $3.55. It's at $1,935.40. And palladium is down $17.45. That's at $1,387.45. So that's where the markets stand today. Not a bad day. Well, the Dow Jones has just creeped below. It's not up anymore. It's down $2.70 at 50,641, so just barely down. NASDAQ is still up, again, 253 points. Standard & Poor's up 44, almost 45 points. So that's where the markets stand today. Oil, let me see where oil stands. Hang on. Hang on 1 second. It was down below $90 a barrel. Oil futures. It's at $89.19. That's the, well, let's see. That's the lowest it's been in, it's the lowest it's been since about May 15th. It is up from the low of Tuesday of $80.01. Again, this is oil futures. So it is up a bit to $89.11. And again, that's the news in Iran saying they have agreed. What they have agreed to is continue negotiations for 60 days and to continue the ceasefire, which really isn't a ceasefire because they're still shooting each other and blowing things up. Iran, not successfully, thankfully, but us, not so much. We're blowing things up. The sticking point is still opening. Nothing happens before the Straits of Hormuz opens. And nuclear material to keep discussing that. It's 3:50 here at WILK. Time for the Bloomberg. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:53. Got a text message. Why are we letting them close the Strait in the first place? Well, we're not letting them close the strait. We're transiting a strait. Our military vessels have been transiting the strait back and forth this whole time. It's the commercial vessels that will not risk going through, even with the military there. So I agree. Where's the Middle East on this? Where's NATO on this? Where's Europe in this? Really have kind of sat this one out, and they're the ones that depend on the Strait of Hormuz more than we do. But the Strait of Hormuz is not closed. We are transiting it back and forth. Matter of fact, each and every day our naval vessels, mostly Arleigh Burke-class destroyers, are going back and forth because they have the capability to defend themselves and we have the assets there to respond. But commercial vessels, their insurance carriers and their skippers are not going to take that chance until there's no chance of them being attacked in any way by Iran. So that's where that stands now. This is a disturbing, great on the new leadership of the CIA, but disturbing that it happens. And I'll explain a little more how this happens to begin with. Former CIA official was arrested after feds find $40 million worth of gold bars stashed at his home in Virginia. Yep. A former high-ranking CIA official who allegedly lied about his credentials, we'll talk about that, to secure a $77,000 in bogus military leave was busted after FBI agents found mind-blowing fortune, including $40 million worth of gold bars hidden in his Virginia home. The feds conducted a raid on the residence of David Rush last week, uncovering a staggering 303 gold bars, $2 million in cash, and nearly three dozen luxury Rolex watches, according to the document. Now, I'm going to get into each of those things, gold bars, cash, and Rolex watches in a minute. Rush, until recently a senior executive service-level employee at the CIA, reportedly requested the massive haul of gold and foreign currency for work-related expenses. Remember that now, work-related expenses between November and March. When the agency conducted a routine audit, the assets were missing from official custody, prompting the CIA director to refer the matter to the federal investigators at the FBI. After a CIA internal investigation identified potential violations of the law, CIA Director John Ratcliffe referred the information to the FBI for a law enforcement investigation. The FBI, working closely with our partners at the CIA and the Department of Justice, as we continue to investigate this matter fully, the statement said. Before last week's raid, officials checked the storage space in Rush's office that he used to store work-related funds, but only a portion of the currency he received remained in the storage space, according to the court affidavit. Rush is currently only charged with inflating his college resume and scamming the government out of military leave pay after he allegedly falsely claimed to be a member of the Navy Reserves. According to the affidavit, he fabricated much of his background on his way to securing a senior executive service role in the federal government. Now, you got to remember, he's in the CIA. They lie for a living. That's what they do. He enlisted in the Navy in 1997, was honorably discharged in 2015, and after that, he never enlisted in any other branch of the U.S. military. But following his Navy discharge, Rush allegedly falsified active status as a captain to pocket $77,000 in unearned military leave while drawing an inflated executive salary. Basically, if you're active duty or reserve military, you get time off from work to go do those duties. And he said he was serving in the reserve, Navy Reserve, and was not. He was discharged honorably from the Navy, basically taking a paid vacation from the CIA. He also claimed to receive a mathematics degree from Clemson University and electrical engineering master's degree from Rensselaer Polytech Institute, but registers found no record of him. Rush additionally alleged to have certifications from the Air Force and Navy Test Pilot School, but the FAA and military files said he lacked a pilot's license, serving instead as an IT technician, among other roles. Now, why is he only arrested for these things? Well, these are things they can immediately prove. They can immediately prove he wasn't a member of the Navy Reserves, so he stole reserve pay, when he was supposedly deployed. And lied about his college and his resume. Now, the gold bars, the Rolex watches, and the cash. What's that about? Well, the CIA works around the world. They don't work in checks. They don't work in U.S. dollars. A lot of times, they work in what's known as world currency. And that is Rolex watches, because it's a currency that's known around the world that has a value, a high value that's stated and can be easily documented. Gold bars. Gold is gold. Listen, it's universal. That speaks volumes. And there is cash there, too. Now, anyone who knows anyone who was a special operator back in the day or even today, a lot of them wear Rolex watches because if they get caught somewhere behind enemy lines, if they have to bargain or barter, they have something that I know several friends who were in special forces, and they all invested in a Rolex Submariner or something to that extent watch. Because it's something that anywhere in the world, it's recognized for its value. So if you need to pay somebody for safe transit, if you need to pay someone to help get you out of a country, it holds value. Same thing with gold. So that's why the CIA has these things, because this is what they barter with around the world when they're doing the things that they do for the CIA. You know, spies don't write a check. They give you a gold bar because it's a value that you know immediately and you can offload immediately. Same thing with Rolex. And, you know, the cash is cash. American cash is still good around the world, just not as liquid a lot of times as especially in foreign nations where they shouldn't be dealing in U.S. cash. Gold and Rolexes, well, you know, you don't get executed for having them. So that's why that's there. It's coming up on 4 o'clock here on WILK News Radio. We'll be back.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.